And we're holding on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, a little bit past the middle of the Amud by the two dots. Now, the Mishnah had said, Gonav Mishal Aviv, suppose a person stole from an animal from his father, the Tavachol Machol V'chola, and then he shechted or sold it. So we said, if afterwards, he stole it while his father was still alive, then and he shechted it while, or whatever, while his father was alive, then his father died. So now what happens is, so he and his brothers together are yashining, but so what he has to do is he has to pay his brothers the percentage that they would have gotten from that Yerusha. He pays from that Tashlum Edal of Behe. So say, for example, in other words, suppose there were three brothers, and let's say, to keep things simple, none of them are Bechor, so each one of them is going to be inheriting one-third of the property, so then he's going to be paying two-thirds of the Tashlum Abab Chamisha out to them, and the other third of the money he keeps for himself. So the Gemara asks a related question, where we're going to end up using this Mishnah as a proof. B'minei Rav Merab Nachman. Gonav shur shal shnei shutfin. Suppose a person stole a shur that belonged to two partners, utvachai, and he shechted that animal, and then afterwards he admitted to one of them that he had stolen and he had shechted the animal. Now, as we've learned before, there's the concept of moidiv knas potter, that if a person admits to owing a knas, then he's potter from it. A knas is only when Edim come and say that he did it. So in this case, he admitted to one of them that what he had done. So the other one he's still denying. Now what's exactly the scenario? So first of all, Tosfos talks about that there has to be some kind of there. We have the concept, which we're going to learn later on in the perek. We've touched on it before about moed b'knas v'achakach bo edim. If a person admits to being chayv in a knas and later on edim come, does that still keep him potter from the knas? Or maybe since after all there are edim, he's going to be chayv. We're going to have a machlokas later of Rabin, and we're going to have a machlokas later on daf ayin hey on that topic.
Why do you say he admitted when he concealed one of them?
That's what we have to figure out. The fact is he admitted to one of them. So Tosfos points out, first of all, if you say that when a person is moida and then Edom come later on, he's potter, which is going to be later on daf ayin hey, that's going to be the opinion of Rab. Well, then we would have to say that we have to obviously be talking about over here that there are Edim of the original theft. Otherwise, if there's no Edim of the Hoidah, then how is he going to be Chayiv in the first place? But now, as far as the specifics of the case, what exactly is he Moida versus what is he denying? So the Tosfos Rid explains, suppose, for example, so these two partners bring Edim that we see that this guy went into their Rishus and take their ox. They don't know. They didn't know, so they could see they have Edim that he took out an ox, but they don't know for sure whether it was their ox. So now the Edim can say it was actually my ox went into their Rishus and I went and told it and I went and took it, so it was mine all along. Later on, he goes over to the one of the Shutfim and he says, I agree that actually half the Shur belonged to you, however, the other half belonged to me. Now, when the other guy comes and says, what are you talking about? The other half belongs to me. He says, no, you don't have any part. You don't have any ownership of it at all. It belongs to me and to this other guy that I was moida to. So that would be the case. In other words, so now he's been moida to half of what he did, but not the other half. So now the point is he's moida b'knas, but he's moida in only half the knas. Half to one of them, he's still denying that he's chayev, which then if Edim come and say that it was that he did steal this animal and that it in fact was not his, then he's going to be chayev to pay to the one that he denied to. Meanwhile, he's going to be potter from paying the one that he admitted to because he was moed b'knas. So that's the question then. So Rava's question is, do we make him pay for half of the payment? The question is, Chamisha Bokar Omer Rachmana, Veloy Chamisha Chatzoi Bokar. Is it the Torah makes a point of saying that he pays that he pays five oxen, or the value of five oxen, which means specifically to exclude, there's no case where he would pay the value of five half oxen. So in that case, then he would be potter. Maybe it means that even if it's only chamisha chatzoi boker, in this case, he would be chayev to the partner that he denied. Maybe he would in fact be chayev five times the half of the animal that that partner owns.
Why aren't we asking the guy who he's moided to who his partner really is?
Doesn't matter. I mean, that first of all, he'd be a negeya be'edus. I don't know that necessarily his edus would be accepted anyway. But even if his edus was accepted, fine. You need two edim. If you have two edim, then it belongs to the other guy. That's what we're talking about over here.
No, but I'm saying this guy who admitted that he stole his behemoth, he knows who his partner really is.
That may be, but never. So fine, if he brings another aide to Basedin, then fine, we have maybe what to talk about. But as long as he doesn't bring another aide, just because he says it is not enough to make the guy pay. And that's what Tosfos points out. After all, we have to have, there are aidim on something over here. If there's no aidim about anything here at all, then obviously him admitting is not going to make him pay anything at all. So we have to be talking about there are aidim that he did take the animal, like the Tosfos who did says, they're just not certain who it belongs to. Or to begin with, they weren't even certain. They saw him taking out an animal. They didn't even necessarily recognize that this animal belongs to Reuven and Shimon. He goes over to Reuven now and says, you know what? Half of it, Taka, is your animal, and therefore I'm admitting to you. But meanwhile, when Shimon comes and says, yeah, but the other half of the animal was mine, then the Ganim says, no, the other half of the animal is mine. So that's the question. Is he paying? So to Reuven, he's certainly potter from paying his half because he's moide b'knas. The question is he chayev to pay Shimon? The question is he chayev to pay the above chamisha to Shimon, or is he potter because in this case it would be that he's only paying five times half the value of the animal? And maybe when the Torah says chamisha boker, it comes to exclude that case.
Can we tell him, well, if you claim that you're the other half owner, prove that you're the other half owner. Meanwhile,
No, it doesn't work that way. If I shecht an animal, I don't have to bring proof that it was my animal. On the contrary, you want to claim, I'm with Simcha Velavadaya, you want to claim that it was your animal, and I should owe you five times the value of it because I shechted it. Bring Adris that it was yours.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So that's the question. Omalei, so Rav Nachman answers, yeah, chamisha boker, omer achmona v'lei chamisha chatzoi boker. When the Torah says five times the animal, it means not five times half the value of the animal. So yes, as a matter of fact, he is going to be potter from paying the other half. He'll be potter from paying the half to Reuven, of course, because for that he's moedi b'knas, but he'll also be potter from paying the half to Shimon, because the gzeiras hakosev that he would only have to pay when it's a whole animal that he stole and then shechted. However, the Gemara says esve, but Rava says to Rav Nachman, I have a contradiction. Our Mishnah had said gonav mishal aviv. You have the case where he stole an animal from his father, or a tavach umachar, and then he shechted or sold the animal. Va'achakach mes aviv, and afterwards his father died. Meshalam tashlum abav chamisha. So we said he pays the tashlum abav chamisha, meaning that he's paying the percentage of the tashlum abav chamisha that has to go to his brothers. Now, isn't that the same kind of thing? Va'ahacha kiven the mes aviv. Once his father died, and he yashins him. And now, therefore, he's off the hook for part of the payment because part of the payment belongs to him himself. So katoni mishalim tashlum abav chamisha. And yet the Mishnah says so the equivalent kibin the mess of it. Once his father died, kemosha kodem behoida la'echem mehendami. It's the equivalent of being moida to one of them, because what happened? We said when you have Reuven and Shimon, and he admits to Reuven and still denies to Shimon. So therefore, he's potter from the part of Reuven now, because he was moida to Reuven. Well, now also he's potter from the part. He's potter from part of it, namely his own part, the part that he yashins from his father. And yet the Mishnah says, and yet the Mishnah is saying that he has to pay tashlama abav chamisha. So yes, it's not limited to only when it's a whole animal that he's chayev the tashlama abav chamisha for. It would apply even when it's only half the animal or whatever percentage of the animal. Sort of Nachman answers, that's not a proof from that Mishnah, because hocha mayaskin, and the Mishnah is talking about gan sha'omad ovi badin. You're talking about that the father actually went to a din Torah against his son. He took his son to a din Torah, and they actually said that he has to pay. So that's different. The case that Rova... No, we're saying that the son had stolen the animal and shechted it all before the father died. If the father was still alive, no question, he'd be paying him the full tashlama baba chamisha. So now the father took his son to Beis Din, and the Beis Din said, yeah, you have to go pay. So now in that case, so he already owes it to his father. So now, therefore, so there's no pattering him because now his father dies, because he was already high of this money before his father died. So that's no proof to your case over here where he's potter before it ever went to Beis Din because he admitted to one of them. But Rava says, Rava says, Abaloy Omad Badin Mai. So what are you telling me then? If they hadn't gone to a din Torah, Mai, then what would you say? Then you would be saying he's potter because again, then we're talking about half Tashlama Abba Chamisha, and you're telling me the Pasuk is excluding that. In that case, well, then consider when it says in the Sefer, namely in the Mishnah, the next Mishnah the Mishnah after next that we're going to have on Ein Dalet Amud Beis, which is going to talk about. So it says where the Mishnah continues, Gonav Mishal Oviv, if he stole from his father, Ummes, and then the father died, V'achakach Tavach HaMachar, and after that he shechted or stole the animal, Einim Hasham Tashlam Abav HaChamisha, then in that case he does not pay the Tashlam Abav HaChamisha, and the reason for that, we're going to learn later on Daf Ayin Dalet.
Baal's not here.
No, not so much because he has to pay to the Bailim, because after all his brothers are now the Bailim. The reason is because since he only did the Tvicho Mechira after his father passed away, then the result is he would really only be chayev in two or three times. Two if it was a sheep, three if it was an ox, and you don't have. The Torah says you pay four or five, not two or three. So therefore, so once he's potter on one part, then he's potter on all of it. But in other words, because that's what we're saying. Because his father passed away. Now, after he did Tvicho Mechira, Shaloihu Teveach, Shaloihu Mocha, it's his own animal that he's shechting.
He said it could be his mother.
It could be his brother's, but the fact is he owns part of it. So he owns part of it. So, yeah. So he's not chayev for the whole thing. So he's not right. So Rava says, given that the Mishnah says that over there, so Niflid, if you're going to tell me, Rav Nachman, that even when he shechted it while the father was alive, there can be a case where he's potter from Tashlama Abav Chamisha versus a case where he's chayim, depends whether it went to a din Torah or not. Well then, Niflid, so in that case, Niflid B'didei. So instead, the Mishnah could be, instead of talking about a distinction, whether he shechted before the father died or after it, he should make a distinction within whether the father himself is still alive. When would it apply that he's potter, only that he's chayev, only when Omad Badin, when Beis Din, when he went to Beis Din, and Beis Din already passed him. So then in that case, and the fact the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction seems to show that there's no such distinction. So what are you telling me that according to what you're saying in the case with Reuven and Shimon, the two partners, you would, and then you're telling me that in the case of the father and the son, there also would? Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, Hochinami, as a matter of fact, it's true, the Mishnah could have made that distinction. It's just the Mishnah didn't, the Tana didn't want to bother. I did Nosev Bredesha, Gona Mishal Oviv, Metavach HaMochava, HaKach Mes Oviv, since the beginning, since our Mishnah had said that he stole from his father, and then he shechted or sold it, and then his father died, Nosev Sefer Nami, Gona Mishal Oviv, Mes Oviv, HaKach Tavach HaMochar. So therefore, the Mishnah later on uses the same style and just switches around the different order, rather than bringing in a new distinction between whether Omad Badin or not, which we didn't have in our Mishnah. The Tanna just wanted to show the contrast between whether Tavach HaMochar while the father was alive versus after the father died. The Mishnah, the Tanna didn't want to get into this level of detail. But nevertheless, we could still say there is that distinction. So that was Rav Nachman's answer. However, Latsafra, the next morning, Omalei, then Rav Nachman changed his mind and said, no, actually, Chamisha Bokar, Amarachmona, Va'afilu Chamisha Chatzoi Bokar. That no, when the Torah says five Bokar, four sheep, it means even halves. So yes, in the original case involving the two partners, he would in fact be chayev to pay the four or five times to the one partner that he denied the claim to. So Rav Nachman says,
what did he agree to?
Remember, the one that he agreed to, he's not paying Tashlama Abba Chamisha because that's Moed B'Knas.
Why is he paying the other half?
Because he denied it. Because he denied it.
In other words,
eventually the guy brings proof. The guy brings Adim that it is in fact his animal, or rather half his animal. Yeah. And then at that point, then we have Adim that he stole it and shechted it, etc. So then the guy is paying him. And Rav Nachman says, you know why I didn't tell you last night, why I gave a different answer last night? Because I had not eaten the meat of the ox. Now, what do we mean by that? Now, yes, we're all familiar with that the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya, and it's brought in many places in Chassidus that a person eats L'shem Shemayim to use the energy for Torah, and therefore, so that's what Rav Nachman means over here. I hadn't eaten a good steak, and therefore I didn't have the presence of mind to answer you. Tosfos says something along those lines, because Tosfos says, Shori b'tainis hoyer. Rav Nachman had been fasting the night before, and that's why he didn't have the clarity of mind to answer Rav. And yeah, so not only it talks about the idea why would he be fasting? Tzaddikim can fast for different reasons, whatever. Anyway, so in fact, there are places in Chassidus where it talks about even more than that. Not only so you have what the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya about that a person can be eating L'shem Shemayim and then he's extracting sparks of Kedusha from it, etc. You also have in a bunch of places in Chassidus where it talks about why Bechlal did the Eibishter make the world in such a way that each level of creation has to be, you have Domim Semeach Chai and Medaber. Why is it the Eibishter made, in particular, the Medaber, the human being, has to live off the lower tiers? Why didn't Hashem make it that a person can live off, direct Elikos, and then he doesn't need the Domim, the Semeach, and the Chai? Why is it that those are what are needed to give a person energy and to make him, as we're saying in the Gemara here, able to understand clearly? And the idea is, Chassidus explains, because, yeah, they come from higher roots, they come from a higher Shodesh in Elikos, and they descend further down in our world, and therefore a person, Kiyam Kom Motza, Piyash Havaya, Yichya Adam, a person doesn't live off the carbohydrates and the proteins and the vitamins and whatnot in the food. Ultimately, a person lives off the Dvar Havaya, off the words of Hashem that are giving that energy into the food, and that's what the person lives off of, and that's why the Eibishter arranged it in that way. With all of that said, though, a number of the Mefoshim here don't understand Rav Nachman to be saying literally that he hadn't eaten meat, but rather metaphorically. Rashi uses the expression loydik dakti taima shel davar. I did not clearly go to analyze the matter in detail. So in other words, the idea would be that he's comparing. He's comparing understanding Torah fully. He's comparing it to eating a juicy piece of meat. We find that metaphor in other places in Shas. We find, for example, a Gemara in Baba Basra. We'll get to it later this year, Bez Hashem, where Rav Adaba Abba says to prospective Talmidim, you have people who are considering, should I go learn by Abaya? Should I go learn by Rava? So Rav Adaba Abba would tell them, if you go to Abaya, you're only going to be like gnawing on bones. You're not going to get a gedichta kind of learning. Go to Rava, and there you'll have juicy meat. In other words, Rava has a much more juicy and then filling and then satisfying style of learning and teaching. So according to that, then it would be the same kind of metaphor of Nachman is saying over here, that I didn't really get into the details of this din, of understanding this din. In fact, of course, since we're talking about an ox, he may mean that as well. That's how some Mefoshim also explain that it means. In other words, he's saying, like, this very reason, the meat of this ox, like the very case we're talking about over here of an ox, I didn't get deeply enough into it to understand it fully. Now, in the morning, I understand it more clearly, and therefore I'm giving you a different answer.
Some people
wake
up early morning
to learn. Yeah. Okay. Well, then the question is, well, then what is the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? Why is it in the Reisha, meaning our Mishnah, when he shechted the animal while his father was alive, then we're making him pay his brothers their portion, even though there was no Din Torah yet? Because again, our Mishnah had not said anything about Omad Badin. And the reason is because we're saying because he pays Chamisha Chatzoi Baker. So why in the Sefer would he be potter and when he shechted it after his father died? Why doesn't he also have to pay his brothers their portion of it? So that's the question. And in fact, the Rashba explains that Rava is asking, I don't even understand, based on what your Mela, according to what I was asking before, then I would understand. I would understand the difference between the Mishnayos. But now that you're telling me that in fact Chamisha Chatzoi Boker, that yes, person has to pay, even when it's only a partial payment. So then we'll tackle what is the difference. Can you please explain to me, Rav Nachman, who was Rava's Rebbe, what is the difference between the Mishnayos? And so he says, Amalei, the difference is Reisha Korinam Be'utvochei Kulei Be'isura. The difference is because in our Mishnah, in the Reisha, when the Pasuk said, what does the Pasuk make him Mechayev for? Is Utvochei because he shechted the animal. So now, when he shechted the animal over here in our Mishnah, it was all Be'isura. Utvochei, Rashi points out, implies all of it. The entire Shechita was accomplished the Isser. And it was because he didn't have any part of it yet. It still belonged to his father. Sefer, like Korinabe, or Tvachoi, Kula Be'isura, whereas in the Sefer, we can't say it was all Be'isser because part of that animal belongs to him. So therefore, you can't make him Chayev for, therefore you can't make him Chayev. for any part of it. Therefore, that's why that later Mishnah says that he's potter from the Tashlom above Hamisha, because when he would be chayev, only when the Tvach Choy was completely be'isser. So in the case of the two partners, it was completely be'isser, because in fact, he owns no part of it. Half of it he admits that he didn't own, and the other half he still claims he owned. But in any case, in reality, he didn't own any of it. Here, on the other hand, when he shechts it after his father dies, he is a partial owner of it. Therefore, the Torah, so yes, the Torah is telling us Chamisha Chatzoi Bakar, but when is that? When in fact the entire Shechita was Be'isser, and just that there's a different reason, there's a side reason why he shouldn't have to pay the whole thing, namely over here because he was Moida to one of the partners. Over there, the very Tvicha itself was not completely Be'isser because he owns part of the animal being one of the Yoshim. So therefore, so we can't make him chayav for any part of it. So that would be the difference between the two. That would be the difference.
That's only if it wasn't the din yet.
So it went, right. So if it was Omer, so it doesn't even have to be Omer or din. If he shechted it while his father was alive, that's what Reb Nachman is telling him. If he shechts it while his father was alive, the tvicha was done completely the iser, because he doesn't own any part of the animal yet. It still completely belongs to his father. Then he has to pay. Even if not Omer Badin, even if there was no Omer Badin yet, nevertheless, the fact that he shechted it kulei be'isser is enough to make him have to pay. And now, if it was only brought to the din Torah after the father passed away, then yes, he's going to have to pay his brothers their portion, and he keeps the portion that would belong to him as Yerusha for himself.
If they only found out later on, we're missing Jack. Mm-hmm.
And we find Adam, then exactly.
So what would happen if there was just one Yerush? He would be chayav?
So if there's one Yerush, that's a good point, actually, because then on the face of it, you can't have that he should earn the whole thing himself. I think we actually talk about, because the Torah makes him to be... So one possibility is maybe, in fact, yeah, I mean, after all, the Torah makes him chayav to pay. Fine, there's nobody to pay to. So it would be the equivalent of, for example, if he had stolen from a ger and then a ger dies without Yoshim. So there is that possibility. There may also be instead actually that in that case he would have to I'm pretty sure that is how it is. I'm pretty sure in that case then that's it. He gets it because now there's no teveya. There's nobody to claim it from him. But if there are brothers, then he has to give them their portion.
If he wouldn't be available, be second person would be a brother. He wouldn't pay to a brother.
I'm saying if there's only one, but if he himself,
I'm saying if the father has a brother.
If the father has a no, because if there's a son, then he yashins everything. In Baba Bas, where it talks about the dinim of Yerusha, if a person has descendants, then his descendants yashin everything. Son, daughter, son, daughter's son, b'chola, as it describes over there in great detail. The father or the brothers only come into the picture only if there's no descendants. Only if there's no descendants at all.
Even,
yeah.
Either daughter before
that. Yeah. Okay, Tosfos, by the way, gets into a very long arichos over here about, is there b'chlal a concept that a father can bequeath a knas to his children? We find, based on other gemaras, that it seems that not. That if a person owed a knas, that if a person was owed a knas and then he passed away, then not necessarily does the payment of that knas go to his children. And so Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that at great length over here, whether in fact that's so, whether maybe there's a difference of different kinds of knasses. There can be a difference between, for example, onus and mafata is maybe a different kind of knas than the knas we're talking about over here, which is purely a monetary matter. And then Tosfos goes into a whole arichos going back and forth about different possibilities with that. Okay. Next thing we said in the Mishnah, Shechet benimtzis treifa b'chola. Then we had a case where he shecht the animal and it turns out to be treifa. And we had also, what if it was chulin ba'azar? So we're going to focus in the sugya over here on chulin ba'azar. The Pashtus, the Gemara often does that. Sometimes the Dibra Maschil in the Gemara will be on earlier part of the Mishnah, and then it'll have V'chula, and it's referring to the later lines. There is actually a Torah Schayim who gives an explanation. We'll discuss a little further on why here the Gemara chose to do that. But anyway, the actual topic of the sugya from here till the next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to be about Chul and Bazar. Now, anyway, so the Mishnah had said that if he shechted it, then it was treifa, or it was cholin ba'azara. We said there was machloikas of the Tanakh. Cholin ba'azara, it means exactly that. He took an animal of cholin and shechted it in the azara, so not as a korban. So the din is it's also to eat, and it's also bahana. We're going to be discussing in the Gemara over here, is that isur daraisa or derabam? In other words, it wasn't a korban. He never designated it as a korban. He brought it into the azara and shechted it. Cholin means it's not a korban.
Right.
So yeah. So it's also, but the question is, it's also ba'achila, it's also ba'ana. The question is, daraisa or derabanan? That's what we're going to take up in the sugya over here. But
if it was chol, he can't say, okay, so they go to
the... Can he just make it now?
If he wants in the azara to make it, well, The Ganav himself can't, because it's not his animal, only if he was koneh right. in one of the ways that we discussed earlier in the parak. But yes, a person in principle could bring his animal to the Azara and then be makdish it there in the Azara. In fact, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Hillel used to do that. And the Gemara mentions, in fact, when you have the famous story of, because that way there's less of a chance that you'll accidentally use the animal and then commit me'ilah with it. You'd be makdish it in the Azara right before they shechted it. But in addition, also, the Gemara mentions in Psachim, in that connection, when you have the whole famous story of B'nai B'Seira, and they weren't sure whether you bring the Korban Pesach when Erev Shabbat, when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, and that whole story over there. So then you have the later part of the story. Because you have the question whether it's a Korban Yachid or whether it's a Korban Sivur. You know the story. You knew that they weren't sure whether you bring a Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and the B'nai B'Seira weren't sure. And then they called in Hillel and he explained to them anyway. So then the Gemara goes on to say, they also have the question, what about if a person forgot to bring his knife and Hillel wasn't sure because he had gotten angry at them and Bolach Lal Kas, Bolach Bal Tos. So he said the Jewish people are B'nai Nevi'im, and they saw that everybody was bringing, if they had a sheep, they were bringing the knife tucked into the wool, and if it was a goat, they had it tucked between the horns, and Hillel realized and he remembered, yes, this is how it's supposed to be. So now the Gemara there in Pesachim deals with the question, wouldn't that be using the Kodshim for Avoida, and you can't do that? And the answer is that like that, but they could be Makdashit only after they bring it into the Azara. So we see there is such a concept. You can be Makdashit after you bring it into the Azara, but it has to be before the animal is shech, that it has to be Kodshim, otherwise it becomes also Bano.
The
Beis Mikdash maybe didn't necessarily have enough knives, but yeah, it was a common thing that people would bring their own knives for Shechita. We find other places in Shas where that kind of thing is also implied, yeah. So now we're going to be focusing on Chulin Ba'azara. So anyway, we said in the mission there was Machloikas, Reb Shimon, and the Chachamim. The Tanakama held that he is Chayev the Tashlama Baba Chamisha. Reb Shimon had said no because Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya, because the Shchita that can't result in the animal being eaten, because it's Shreifo, because it's also as Chulin Ba'azara as the case may be, and therefore that he said he holds Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya, Lo Shma Shchita, that that's not considered a valid Shchita, which we talked about that the other day, and we're going to talk about it more in the Gemara later on. The halacha is actually that shchita sheinu ru'uya is shma shchita, so which comes up in various places in Shas, that the halacha is even though it was a shchita sheinu ru'uya, it is still shma shchita. It is a valid shchita, and therefore not it's a valid shchita in the sense that you can eat it, of course not, but in the sense that it has the dinim of shchita as it's relevant to various halachas all over Shas. Here it would mean he's chayiv b'tashlama ba'al b'chamisha. It would mean, for example, you'd have to do kisi adam. It would mean that it would mean if it was cholin ba'azara, then it would be also b'hana, etc., etc. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Chavivi Mechozna L'Rav Ashi." So Rav Chavivi Mechozna asked Rav Ashi that in our Mishnah. Now, so what are you telling us? So you have this case: the Ganav stole the animal. He brings it to the Azara and he shechts it in the Azara. And according to the Tanakama, and this is the halacha, he's chayiv tashlama b'av chamisha. Shma mina, does that mean we can deduce from our Mishnah, yesh ein l'shchita elu l'soy? We have to consider that the definition of shchita is only when you finish the shchita. Now there comes a point, you start the shchita, you start cutting through, you have to remember, with an animal, you need to cut through the majority of both major pipes in the neck in order for it to be a proper shchita. You have the windpipe and you have the esophagus, and you have to cut through the majority, at least 50% plus a little bit, in order of both of them, in order for the shchita to be kosher. Now, do we consider that when the knife starts touching those parts, then we say the shchita process begins then, and it ends when he's finished, when he's gone through the 51% of them, or do we maybe say that the shchita is defined only when he reaches that stage of 51%? Our Mishnah seems to imply ein l'shchita elo v'soif. So therefore, in other words, so up until that point, until he reaches the gemar shchita, the animal is not yet chulin ba'azara. Therefore, it still belongs to the original owner, and therefore, in other words, you have at the same moment that it becomes Cholin Ba'azara and becomes Osa Ba'ana is the same moment when now he's removing it from the Rishus of the original owner. And then, so because in other words, the point is, Rav Chavivi Mechazna is saying, now, if we were going to say that no, the shchita is that from the beginning until the end of the process is all considered part of the shchita, then you have a problem. Given to shachat b'purta osra, as soon as he starts shechting even a little bit, he makes it osra as cholin ba'azara. And the result is when he does the rest of the shchita, and only at the end, only when he finishes the shchita, does it become osur b'hana. So it comes out, or no, the other way around, rather. It comes out that once he shechted it a little bit, he makes it cholin ba'azara. the if we're going to say yeshna the shchita mitchila ba'azorah, then it means from the beginning of the shchita already it becomes chulin ba'azorah. Now it's also bahana. At that point, when he finishes the shchita, it doesn't belong to the original owner anymore, such that we could say he should be chayev for shechting it. The same kind of logic as we had throughout the perek so far. We had, for example, the idea shaloihu teveach shaloihu moicher. If, for example, he himself was koina the animal in one of the valid ways of kinyan, that in one of the valid ways that a ganav is koina the thing, and where now he doesn't have to give back the original thing, just the value of it, and we say at that point, if he shechts it or sells it, he's not chayiv at the shlama abav chamisha anymore because it's his own animal that he's shechting or selling. Here we have the opposite problem. If he makes it osabahana, the moment he starts shechting it, then it doesn't belong to the original owner anymore. So what is their tashlama abav chamisha to be talking about paying? Necessarily says Reb Habibi.
Doesn't matter if it takes a sheep or
no, it doesn't matter. So we're talking about a sheep or an ox, yeah.
I'm saying he still doesn't have to pay for.
No, but he'd have to pay the shlomo kefal. But we're talking about the shlomo above chamisha. That's what we're asking. That's what Reb Habibi is asking.
But if he sells or still, sorry,
of course, if he sells or shechted, he's chayav. But that's what Reb Habibi is saying. Here he shechted it, and his shchita makes it also bahana.
Okay.
Unlike a normal shchita, which makes it mutter to eat, here the shchita has the opposite effect. It makes the animal also bahana. The problem is, if we're going to say, so fine, if we say, if we say, when he starts shechting that animal, it has not yet become cholin bazar. The moment he gets to the end of the shchita, he's made it cholin bazar. Fine, that same moment is when it's considered that he accomplished the shchita, so therefore you can be mechayev him for the shchita, because up until that point, even as he was cutting through the two pipes over there, it still belonged to the original owner. But if you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me, yeshna the shchita metchila ba'adsof, then you'd have a problem that as soon as he started shechting, he made it osabana, now it doesn't belong to the owner anymore, so then what is he, why are we making him pay tashlama abav chamisha at all?
Why making it osabana takes away the balabai?
Because that's the thing, if it's osabana, it means he doesn't have enough from it, means he's not allowed to have enough from it, means it doesn't belong to him anymore, in effect. The same way as we had previously, where he shechted a shor hanisko, we had the same consideration. You can't even mechayev him when he shechted a shor hanisko, when it's osabana. There's nothing to pay for the value of the shirt on Nisko. So here we'd have the same kind of situation. So that's what Rav Habibi is asking. And by the way, the Torah Schayim mentions a point over here now. Further on in the sugya, we're going to talk about this machlokas whether Chulin Ba'azara is also Da'araisa or Da'rabon. Now, we learned yesterday in connection with when the animal was shechted on Shabbos, whether it's also to eat or not. We had a three-way machlokas, whether when a person does a malacha on Shabbos for food, whether the food is also forever or not, depending whether it was a shoyug or mamezid, where one distinction we pointed out over there is it depends whether it's also daraisa or darabanan, because when it's also darabanan, yes, it may be also to eat, but that doesn't mean that it becomes that it's completely not the property of the original owner anymore, because maybe the darabanan, the fact that they make it also, if we talk about gavra versus cheftza, we talk about other distinctions maybe that make it that it's not considered that it was a shchita sheiner ruya. It's not considered that it's actually completely out of his reshus in that sense. Well, then the Torah Chaim says so. Maybe you could say very simple. Our Tana of our Mishnah holds that chulin ba'azara is also only dirabanan. So then in that case, that would be why he's chayiv. It doesn't matter whether yeshna l'shchita mitchilav ad soif or not. So he says that actually. That's the point. The reason why the caption in the Gemara was Hashoicha b'nimtzes treifa, given that we're dealing with Cholin Shenishchatu Ba'azara, why didn't the Gemara caption this section with Shashoicha Cholin Ba'azara? Because the Gemara wants to hint to us the same way as Hashoicha b'nimtzes treifa, and he's Chayiv Tashlama Abav Chamisha, the Tana is saying, even though it's Shchita Sheinu Ru'uya, and obviously there it's Einu Ro'i Da'araisa, the same way over here, when it comes to Cholin Ba'azara, the Tana wants us to know he holds, according to the opinion, that it is also Da'araisa. So then there's nothing to talk about, that it might be only Dirabbanan. So therefore, back to the question, that the only way to make it work would be if we say, Ya Eino L'Shchita El Ovasoy. So, Omelet of Huna Brei Dirava, not necessarily is that a proof. You could say, Yeshna L'Shchita Metchil Avad Soif, because you could say, in other words, that yes, it becomes also right when he starts shechting it, because Cholin Ba'azara. Nevertheless, you could say, Kika Mechayev Ahahu Purta. You know what he can be Mechayev the Tashlama Abav HaMisha for? For that beginning of the Shechita. So he's not chayev only when the shechita finishes. He's chayev when he started the shechita process. So the same way, you could say, in other words, that the same way as the isur of chulin ba'azara starts when he starts the shechita process. So fine, maybe the chiyuv of hashlama ba'av chamisha also begins when he begins the shechita process. So that's fine. We can say yeshnu l'shechita mitchilav ad zayif. As soon as he begins the shechita, both things kick in at the same time. Rav Ashi says to Rav Huna Bered Rava, Loi Tidchi, don't try to use that to push off what Rav Chavivi is saying. Rav Chavivi does have a very good point. After all, the Pasuk says, Utvachai. The Pasuk says, Utvachai, that he shechts it, Kuloi Be'in, and that would imply that you need a complete Shchita, not just the beginning of Shchita. You need something that will be considered a fully valid Shchita, and that means both Simonim, Veleka, and here you don't have it, because what you're saying is that even by the beginning of the Shchita, he already becomes Chayev, and no, he only becomes Chayev by the end. So yes, your Chavivi has a very good point. If you're going to say Ein of a Shchita Elo V'Soif, then that works, but if you say Yesh of a Shchita Mitchil Bad Soif, then you have a problem. So the Gemara says, El Akasha. Well, then that is a problem then. The fact is, we're going to have soon a machloikas amuroyim whether yeshna l'shchita mitchila bad soif or not. Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold yeshna l'shchita mitchila bad soif. If our Mishnah holds ein l'shchita el v'soif, then it's going to be a contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. So how do we work that out? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers, Hochi Omer Rav Gamda Mishmei de Rava. This is what you should know. This is what Rav Gamda said in the name of Rava. The case would have to be, when is he chayev? When he shechted cholat ba'azara, kugan sheshochat miktsa simonim b'chutz. He shechted some of the simonim. He started shechting through the simonim outside the azara. Then the gumran b'fnim, then he finished off. Then he finished it off. He brought the animal inside the Azara and finished the Shechita. Well, then fine. So he was shechting Cholin outside the Azara. So the beginning of the Shechita did not yet asu the animal because it's Cholin outside the Azara. Good. That's where you're supposed to shecht Cholin. Now he brought it into the Azara and finished the Shechita. So then you have, again, the Isur of Cholin ba'Azara and the point when he makes it, when he makes himself Chayev with Hashlamah Bav Chamisha, come at the same time. So good. That would be the case where he's Chayev.
That'd be a kosher shchita. You start one place and
so yeah, it out. Yeah, it would be in principle. Yeah, so you have one of the five things that pasul shchita is called shehiya, where you delay right in the middle of the shchita. First of all, it could be, let's say, he's walking along and bring the animal with him. But besides that, technically shehiya, there's a minimum amount of time that shehiya has to last in order for the shchita to be possible. Gemara discusses it in Chulin and then in some in detail. Here is not the place for it, but whatever. There is a minimum amount of time. So here you can have. He was standing like, you know, one step outside the Azara and he started shechting. Then he brought in the animal and he finished, and there wasn't enough time for Shehiya to pass all the shechitas. Yeah, it is in principle possible. So that would be an answer. So yes, you can say that the Tana of our Mishnah can still say Yeshna the Shechita Mitchilav Ad Soif. So that way the Mishnah doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan. But nevertheless, he's still chayev because here we're talking about that only the end of the shchita is what made the animal usur, because that's what took place in the Azara. Fine, that end of the shchita is also what made him chayiv in Tashlama Baba Chamish. Okay, the Gemara says, Ika de Masni Lo Aha. Now, there are others who learned that this discussion and the proof from the Mishnah actually went on a different discussion, that the discussion started differently, not on our Mishnah, but started on a different point, and then our Mishnah was brought in connection with it. So Ika de Masni Lo Aha. Amr Reb Shimon, Mishum de Reb Levi Sava, Reb Shimon, meaning Resh Lakish, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, it says here on the side, it should be, says, Mishum de Reb Levi Sava, Eina L'Shchita Elo V'Soif. The concept of Shchita only applies when you finish the Shchita. And that is, and the Nafkimina we'll talk about in a second. Reb Yechanan says the entire Shchita process is considered part of the Shchita. Now, what's a nafkamina of it? Rashi points out, for example, we know that when a person is shechting kodshim, we know that if he has various wrong intentions in mind, then he passels the korban. He can make it possel, he can make it even piggle, whatever, depending what kind of machshava it was. And there are four avodas of the korban during which such thoughts will passel the korban, and one of those avodas is shchita. So now, do we say yeshna l'shchita metchilav ad soif or not? So suppose he has a thought at the beginning of the shchita, he has in mind, for example, that I'm going to eat some of the meat of this korban tomorrow. which is whatever the reason he is, or tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, if we're talking about Shlomim, whatever, the point is that makes the animal piggle. So that kind of thought, if he has that thought in mind, doing one of the four avodas, it makes the korban piggle, and a person eats from that korban, he's chayav kares. Now, so that's the question. If he has that thought in mind only at the beginning of the shita, is that enough to make a piggle or not? According to the Shlokish, no, because ain of the shchita el of the soif. The fact that he had that thought in mind when he started the shchita doesn't matter. According to Rabbi Yechonon, yesh no the shchita mitchil avad soif. Therefore, it is going to be considered piggle.
If there's two people shechting, it's possible.
Two people shechting is a whole other matter. By kodshim, you can't have two people shechting together. Yeah, right, by chulin, you put. But yeah, so they. By kodshim, if I remember correctly, you can't have two people shechting anyway in the first place. Then there's nothing to talk about. But yeah, you have Masechta Zvachim. Whatever, Masechta Zvachim talks about all those things in great detail. We'll get to it a couple of years from now, Be'ez Hashem. Right now we're in Yeshuas and Seder Nezikin. When we get to Chochmas, which is Seder Kodshim, then we'll be talking about this in great length, Be'ez Hashem. But yeah, anyway. So you have that Nafkamina, whether Einu L'Shchita El V'Soif, or whether Yeshna L'Shchita Metchil V'Ad Soif. So now, according to the second version, this, it was not on our Mishnah, but rather on this Machlokas Amoraim, that Rav Chavivi Mechazna points out to Rav Ashi, Lema Kasav Rav Yechanan Cholon Shenishchat Avazor Alav Mitlav Dorais. Does that mean that Rav Yechanan holds that Cholon Shenishchat Avazor are not also Dorais, only Drabanan, which now there's Machlokas on that point in Masechta Kedushin, and Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that it is also Daraisa. However, based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here, it sounds like you'd have to hold that it's not Daraisa. Because again, back to our Mishnah, De'isak daidach Daraisa, if Rabbi Yochanan held that it is also Daraisa, then you have the same problem, like we said before, Miki Shochet Lapurta Osra, as soon as he starts shechting and it becomes also as Cholim Ba'azara, because Yeshna L'Shchit Metchil Avad Zoif, Idach lav demara katavach, and we shecht the rest of it doesn't belong to the owner. So how can we chayv tashlumi abav chamisha? So the only way to make that work would be if Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's only also drabbanon. Where being also drabbanon is not a reason to be mako on the ganav and say therefore that it's considered out of the reshus of the owner and he gets away with not having to pay. But yet again, Rabbi Yochanan himself learns elsewhere that it is also daraisa. So what does that mean? Omelet of Acha Breda Rava, sort of Acha Breda Rava answers Rav Chavivi, no, because Ki Kamachayev, Nami Ahu Huporta. You could say, like Rav Huna Breda Rava said on Omer Aleph, that it means that he's chayev for that little bit. As soon as he starts shechting, it becomes Cholin Bazara. At that moment, also, he's chayev for Tashlama Abav Chamisha. And Omelet of Ashi, and again, Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha Breda Rava, Loi Tidche, don't try to push off Rav Chavivi's question. It's a very good question, because like we said, Utvachai Kulei Beinan, when it says Utvachai, implies that you have to have shechted the whole thing, not just part of it. The Lekka, and here you don't have, because here he only began the Shkita. Well, we have the same question as before, Elakasha. Well, then we're left with the problem. Then what does Rav Yechanan hold? And the answer is Omalei, instead of Ashi answers him, Hachi Amar of Gamne Meshmei Derava, Kika Machayev. Again, when would be the case that he's Chayev when he shechts Chulin Ba'azara, to then Sheshachat Mikta Simonim Bachutz, when he shechted some of the Simonim outside the Beis Hamikdash, outside the Azara, the Gomron Bifnim, and then he finishes off the Shechita inside the Azara. So then we can say that you do have the Utvachai, he is Chayev for the finishing of the shechting, and yet, even though ain of a shchita, and even though yesh no tchilim shchita mitchil avad soif, when did it become cholin v'azara? Only with the end of the shchita. Only at that moment he also becomes chayiv b'tashlama abav chamisha, because again, it has to be utvachoy. There was a complete shchita, and therefore, yes, cholin shenishchita v'azara can be also daraisa, and it all works out. So it works out, and Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting himself, and Rabbi Yochanan and what Rabbi Yochanan is saying fits with the Mishnah. There is some discussion that maybe in fact you could talk about that maybe daraisa it's also only ba'achila and drabbanan it's also ba'hanah as well. So that you'd have to figure out how that works with our sugya over here, where it seems that we're talking about even that the isur hanah is daraisa already. But Mishnah says. Gonav al pishnayim. Suppose a person stole an animal and there were two edim that he stole. the tovach ha-mocher al-pi. And then those same edim say that he also shechted afterwards or stole it. The nimtzu zoymin. Now it comes out that these edim are edim zoymin. And we know edim zoymin is other edim come and say, imanu ha-yisem, b'makom ploini, you were with us elsewhere at that time. You can't possibly say this edus. Keep in mind, by the way, the second edim are not saying we say that the thing didn't happen. Maybe it happened, maybe he didn't. Maybe he stole this animal, maybe he didn't. Maybe he shechted it, maybe we didn't. But you can't say edus on it because you were with us, b'makom ploini. It's someplace else. And we know the Torah tells us that we believe the second set of edim, which, as the Gemara is going to point out, is a little bit of a chidush, according to one way of looking at it, because why should we believe the second set of edim more than the first?
Oh.
So it's exerus hakosev that it does. See? So here, v'nimtzu zoymin, it comes out that they were mezoymin, mishalmin hakol. So now they have to pay the entire thing. So they have to pay. So v'asisim loikasha zomam, they wanted to make them pay four times the value of the sheep or five times the value of the ox. Here, they were edim zoymin. Therefore, they have to pay the entire four or five times to the guy that they were trying to accuse and base.
Edim zoymin is like false
ones. Edim zoymin means more than false. It means that they were huzam. It means that they were, a good word, more than contradicted. There's hakosha and there's hazam. Hakosha would be, listen, hakosha would be like this. Reuben and Shimon come to Beis Din and they testify that Yankel stole something. Now, Reuben and now Levi and Yehuda come and say, let's say, for example, they say, no, Yankel was with us in another place at that time, and therefore he couldn't have done it. That's called hakosha. We don't believe either set of edim, or essentially what we do is we say, the Gemara calls it uki tre, la hadi tre, we put two against two. We don't know which one to believe, so we just throw the whole thing out. Yankel is free to go, and there's nothing, there's no hazama, there's no nothing. Hazama is something else. Reuven and Shimon come and say Yankel stole. Levi and Yehuda come and say, maybe Yankel stole, maybe not. But you testify that he did it in New York on such and such a day, but you were with us in California on that day. So never mind whether Yankel did it or not in New York on this day, but you weren't there to testify to it. Then the Torah tells us the first set, Reuven and Shimon, are called Edim Zoymin. And we have a special rule, Vasisim, like Kasha Zamam. The Torah tells us, believe the second set of Edim. That's Xeris Kasim. That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara, Chidushu. And therefore, the result is, Vasisim, like Kasha Zamam, Reuven and Shimon, we give them whatever penalty they were trying to make on Yankel. So in this case, they're testifying that Yankel stole. They're the ones who are going to have to pay instead the value they wanted to deprive him of. They're the original Edim. They're Reuven and Shimon. If they were testifying that Yankel broke Shabbos, which would make him chayv skila, then they get skila, etc. That's what the Torah says. V'asisim loy kasha zomam. The first set of Edim, who will turn out to be false Edim, because the second set of Edim... The first set of Edim Zoymin, because they testified falsely that Yankel did such and such when they weren't in town on that day to see Yankel doing it. So now the second set of Edim came and said that that's how it is. So therefore, the first set of Edom are punished with Vasisim Loik Hasha Zomam. We do to them whatever they would have wanted to do to the person.
One's the second one's Edom Zaynin.
If the second one's also Edom Zaynin, we'll learn about that in Masechta Makkos. We'll learn about that in Masechta Makkos, Best Hashem. We'll talk about such details. We'll get to that. We'll get to that next year, Best Hashem. Let's help cop right now.
But
Edom
Zaynin means false.
So that's what I'm saying. Zaynin is more than false. Zaynin literally means plotted. It means they plotted to give false Edos in a way where it turns out they weren't even aided. They weren't even, because they weren't there.
Right.
The whole concept of aided says they have to be there, and they weren't there. So there's more than...
Can we stop interrupting? Hello? Can we stop interrupting Alexander,
please? Let's go on. I mean, this is all in order to explain, so people will understand what Edom Zaymin are. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so again, here it was the same set of Edom that said that he stole and that he shechted or sold, therefore they're chayev for the entire four or five. Very simple. Now, what about Gonav Apishnaim, Tovach Amarcha Apishnaim Acherim? What about if Reuven and Shimon came and said that he stole the animal, and then Levi and Yehuda came and said that he shechted it or stole it or sold it? And Elu Ve'elu Nimtzu Zomin. What if both sets of Edim turn out to be Edim Zomin? So we can't be Mechayev any of them for the entire four or five, because the first set, after all, we're only going to be Mechayev him Kefil. Only the last set we're going to be Mechayev him. We're going to be Mechayev him more. So therefore, so Harishonim Meshamet Tashlumei Kefil. So the first set of Edim have to pay the Kefil, because that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to say that he's Chayev Tashlumei Kefil. Va'achronim Meshamet Tashlumei Gimel. And the last set pay the other three. Or if it was a sheep, then they're paying the other two. So because that's exactly it. The first set of Adim wanted to say that he's chayiv kefil. The second set wanted to say in addition that he's chayiv another two or three times. So they're the ones they only have to pay that. Now Rashi points out it has to be the order in which they were muzam is important. If Reuven and Shimon first were huzam, then the whole Adris is bottled, because what happens if Levi and Yehuda come to Beis Din and say, we saw Yankel shechting an animal, that's nothing. Beis Din didn't tell them it was his animal. Bring us some proof that is a problem. So it has to be that there was first Reuven and Shimon testifying that he stole the animal. Then Levi and Yehuda's testimony that he shechted it means something. So therefore, it would have to be, in order for Levi and Yehuda to be chayev to pay anything, it has to be that first Adam came and were mazim Levi and Yehuda and said imonu hayisim. Now, after that, other Adam come and are mazim Reuven and Shimon, or even the same Adam, whatever, and say imonu hayisim also. If, on the other hand, Adam had been mazim Reuven and Shimon first, then Beis Din would just throw out the whole case. They would say, fine, Reuven and Shimon, you're chayev to pay tashlum kefil, because you wanted to say that he should be chayev tashlum kefil for stealing, and really, you weren't there. However, we can't be chayev Levi and Yehuda to pay anything, because without Reuven and Shimon's edus, Levi and Yehuda's edus doesn't mean anything.
Oh, because nothing was stolen.
Because nothing was stolen, right. So it would have to be. So the order was Reuven and Shimon came and testified that Yankel stole. Levi and Yehuda came and testified that he shechted. Then Adam came and said, Levi and Yehuda imonu hayisem. And now other Adam come and say to Reuven and Shimon, also imonu hayisem. So that would be the case. Now we have that both sets of Adam Zomen have to pay. The first set, Reuven and Shimon, pays the kefil. The last set pays the remaining two or three. What about Nimsu Achronim Zomin? What about if only the second set of Adam turned out to be Adam Zomin? Who Mashalim Tashlome Kefil? Well, then the Ganav himself, Yankel, still has to pay the Tashlome Kefil, because after all, we have Adam that he stole. So therefore, he's chayav to pay Tashlome Kefil. But the Hain Mashalim Tashlome Shloisha, the second set of Adam, are going to be paying the extra three times, because the Ganav himself is still chayav for Tashlome Kefil. He stole. Or at least we have Adam that he stole, unless we're mazim them. But the second set of Adam, who said that he shechted it, we were mazim them, they were trying to deprive him of another three times the value of the animal, and therefore they have to pay that three times to the owner of the animal. What about, or not to the owner of the animal, sorry, actually to the person, to Yankel, who they were trying to be mazim, or who they were trying to accuse, rather.
So what about them, like each of them to pay 100?
So we're saying, so here, let's say, so the animal was worth $100, Reuven and Shimon testify that Yankel stole this animal worth $100. At that point, he's chayev kefil. Levi and Yehuda come and testify that he shechted that animal. If their edus is true, then he would have to pay altogether 500. He'd have to be paying 200 to the original owner. New, because 500 new is five times 100. Now, we're saying if the second set of Adam turned out to be Zomin and the first not, so the first edus was still upheld. He did steal the animal. Therefore, he's chayav $200 for that. He's chayav kefil. Meanwhile, the guy Yankel, who they're accusing, who stole. Meanwhile, the Adam Zomin, Levi, and Yehuda are going to pay $300 to Yankel because they tried to make him have to pay $300 to somebody else. Yankel. They pay Yankel because they accused him. And they're Adam Zomin against him.
But he stole. That's how,
he stole, therefore he's chayav to the original owner of the animal. But nevertheless, they were testifying falsely against him that he's chayav an extra 300. Therefore, they pay it to him. Yeah, that's how Adam Zimman works.
And they both went together, they have to pay the...
Yeah, they pay, yeah, Mishal Shin Menei. No, it means the two of them together. Between the two of them, they pay 300. Each one pays 150. Continues the Mishnah. Echad min ha'achronim zomin. What happens if only one of the last set of edus becomes zomin? Now, the problem is like this. Not the problem. The issue is like this. You need two edim in order for an edus to be valid. Generally, one ed is not enough. On the other hand, for the din of hazama to be done, the concept that we say v'asitzim lo'kash hazamam only happens if we mazim both of them. If other edim come and say, Levi, you were with us, v'makom pleni, but Yehuda, they do not, we don't have an edus over here, but on the other hand, we don't penalize Levi either, because only that would be only if Levi and Yehuda were both had testimony against them, imanu hayisem. So therefore, so the result is, so echad min ha'achronim zomin, butla edus, shnia. So now we have the second edus is canceled out. So therefore, so now the Yankel, the Ganav is paying tashlumi kefil, and that's it. There's no extra tashlumin because there's no edim that he checked the animal.
once you lose one of the partners of the second one.
No, so that's the thing. We don't penalize either of the second set of Edim because we only do that because only one of them was Muzam. We only penalize them only. It has to be Adshi Yizoymu Kulon. It has to be the entire Edus was Muzam and not just one of them.
There's no punishment.
So therefore, there's no punishment at all. Basin can probably do something extra legal to him or whatever, and we're going to talk about whether he's possible in a minute, but whether he's possible later or afterwards. But no, so there's no payment. So Yankel is paying his tashlum and kefal, and that's it. Things stop there. If it turns out that one of the first set of Edim is Zoymin, and again, not both of them, if both of them were, then they'd have to pay, but since it was only one of them, then the entire Edus is Bottle. If there's no Edus on the Gneva, then the Tvicha and Mechira is meaningless, so therefore nobody's paying anything. Okay. So the Gemara starts a discussion which is going to relate back to our mission.
Can I just clarify? You're saying if Edom come, then the Zenim, if I'm the Zenim, they have to pay whatever
they have to pay whatever they wanted to make the other guy. Yeah.
So pretty much they're paying for Yankel.
Sometimes they're paying completely on his behalf. Sometimes they're paying only one half, only part of it. Yeah. The general rule is whatever they wanted to make him pay is what they have to pay instead.
Malchus,
then they get Malchus. Misa, they get Misa, they get Misa. Karis, you don't testify based on somebody's chayv karis. You testify based on that somebody's chayv penalty from based on. Whatever. You learn Masechta Makkos. You learn about all these details. Best Hashem, we'll get to Masechta Makkos sometime next year. Best Hashem. Itmar. So the Gemara says we have a discussion of Amiroyim about Edim Zoyim. Eid Zoyim. Abaya Amalam Afreya Hu Nifsal. So Abaya says, now consider like this. Consider a case. They gave Edus in Nisan. In Ir, Edim came and said that their Edim Zoyim. So now, from what point on do we say that their Edus is possible? For sure their Edus is possible because they're Rishoyim. Because they testified falsely, and therefore they're kosher la'edus until eventually they have to get malchus. So there's various other ways in which they can become kosher la'edus eventually. But whatever the case, now they're kosher la'edus. Abaya omelam afreya who nifso. Abaya says they're kosher retroactively to when they gave the edus. So in other words, in our case, they testified in Nissan about, let's say, that Yankel stole. Meanwhile, later on in Nissan, for example, they gave Edos that Reuven sold Shimon a field, or they gave Edos that on something else or whatever. So Abaya is saying now, eventually in Eo, we find that they were Edom Zoyim. Abaya is saying all the way back to when they gave that Edos their apostle, therefore that Edos that they're saying, for example, they signed on a document that Reuven sold a field to Shimon, their apostle of Edom, and therefore that Edos is no good. Rava Amar Mikanol Habahu Nifso. Rava says no, they're only possible from now and onward. So from when the Hazana takes place, from when they're caught, is when they're possible, but not from before that. By the way, why are we using the expression Eid Zoymim in the singular? Tosfos points out in Sanhedrin, which is the main place we have the Smachlokas, that because in our Mishnah we said they only get the penalty only if both of them are Zoymim. Nevertheless, if we're saying that even if only one of them was Muzam, other Edom and Taman said, Imono HaYisim, about only one of them, you would still have the same Machlokas, Abaya and Rava. Fine, the punishments for Edom Zoymim you're not going to have unless both of them. But nevertheless, we can still talk about, we see now, obviously, that it was a false aid because it was clearly contradicted by other Edom. Therefore, that's enough to pass them for Edos in the future. And then the question is it only for the future or is it even in the past? So what's the basis behind the Machlokas? Abaya omlam afreihu nifso, because me'ahu shaita de asid, Abaya takes the view from when he gave the edus, havalei rosha. At that point, he was a rosha because he was giving, as we find out now, that he was giving false edus. Va'atoda omra al toshis rosha aid. The Torah says you're not allowed to have an aid. The Torah says you're not allowed to have an aid as you can't have a rosha as an aid. The actual expression in the pasuk is al toshis yodcha im rosha lias aid chamas. The Gemara, as it often does, is kind of paraphrasing the pasuk a little bit. So that's Abaya's logic. Rava Amar Mikadol Abahu Nifso. Rava says no, it's only from now on that I'll be Nifso. Because look, Eid Zoymim Chidushu. Because after all, Rava says the whole concept of an Eid Zoymim is a big Chidush. After all, you have two Eidim against two Eidim. Usually, we say two against two, they cancel each other out. My chos is tzayis lahani, tzayis lahani. So what's the logic that you should say you listen to the second set? Why shouldn't you listen to the first set and say the second set are lying? Hilkach, ein le- so there, the whole concept that you do hazama and that you believe the second set of Edom and you even punish the first ones on that basis, the whole thing is a chidush. So therefore, hilkach, ein lechabay, el mishas chidush ve'elach. So therefore, only from when the chidush takes place, only from the hazama and onward, only can we only then can we say that he's possible, but not from before that. So Rava is saying now Tosfos actually discusses the question. I mean, we're saying that because they're we're saying that they're Edom Zomin and the whole thing is a chidush. Well, then in that case, then maybe the chidush is they're not even possible Edus. Maybe the chidush. Maybe we should only apply the Torah says Asher Zom Kasher Zomam, and that's that. Maybe we shouldn't even pass over the Edus. And the answer is because look, Tosfos says if the second set of Edom are believed even to execute this first set or to make them get Malkus or whatever, Alachas Kama Vakama, they're believed to say that they are liars and therefore they're possible in the future for Edus. So fine, Rava has no problem with that. His problem is only because the whole thing is a Chiddush, why should we pass on them from when they gave the testimony before we ever even knew that they were Edom Zayn?
And if there's a third set, we'll go to the third set?
And forget third sets. We'll talk about that in Malkus, Bez Hashem. Let's focus on the two sets we have now. Okay, Ikadamri, others say that there was a different reason for Rava's Shitta. So again, the first reason we had for Rava's Shitta is because the whole thing is a Chiddush and therefore we should minimize how long this Chiddush lasts. The second version is Ikadamri, Rava Nami Kabai Svirale. Rava does basically hold like Rava, Da'amala Mafreya Hunifso, that they should be possible Mafreya. It should be. That it should be, they should be possible mafreya because, like Abaya says, we know now that the original Edus was false. V'hocha haim taimed Rava. However, the reason why Rava wants to say that they should be possible only in Shana Laba, Bishop Seder Lo Kuchas. The reason is because otherwise people who bought property are going to lose out. Consider, for example, a person bought property. Oh, sorry, right. It goes a little bit, okay. It goes a little bit past what you have, yeah. A person bought property, he took Edim, he, as far as he knew, these are perfectly, so what are we saying? This guy gave Edus in Nissan. In Eo, we discovered that he's an Edzoman. Meanwhile, later on in Nissan, some poor fellow went and bought property, and he needed Edim for his shtar. He needed Edim for his shtar, so he went and got Edim to sign his shtar. And now all of a sudden he finds out that the Edom are zoning in and therefore his shtar is going to be possible and poor guy he's going to lose out over here because he thought he had a perfectly good shtar and now it turns out that he doesn't. So Rava says that would be a reason why not to possible them retroactively so as not to cause that loss. Now Tosfos points out that
we have to hope that whole thing actually was true.
That one whole thing. No, he had Edom there when he bought the property. So he had Edom there when he bought the property, and then he had the Edom sign the shtar. Right. He didn't know that they're possible yet. So Rav is saying, don't make them possible as of then, and then it turns out that he loses out. Instead, say that they're possible from now on. In Inyan, in other words, according to the second version, he would agree with Abaya. Now we know that originally they testified falsely, therefore they ought to be possible. However, we don't want to make Lekuchas lose out. Tosfos points out that Yesh Mefoshim, Tosfos says that would be only when we have Edim Mesira who know that the Shtar is true. Because after all we have is Edim Chasima, all we have is the Edim that signed it. The problem is now we know those Edim are apostles, so what are we going to do? Tosfos says that no, because then the Gemara is going to point out one Nafkamina between them. If you're going to tell me that you have that distinction, whether the Edim Mesira, then there's a lot of Nafkaminas. So no, we look at the Edim on the Shtar. The fact is, Rava is saying we can't passel them retroactively because then you're going to have the Lekuchas lose out. Now, what about the Ran points out? Well, why don't you have the other? Why are the Chacham only looking out for the Lekuchas? Why aren't the Chacham looking out for the seller? Maybe we should tackle the concern. There was no sale here at all. Because we're talking about the Lekeach has the Karaka and he has a Shtar. So there obviously was a sale, but nevertheless, we're still concerned that now the other guy is going to argue that you have Pasel Edim and therefore, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My benayu." What's the practical difference between Abaya and Rava's reason? Or what's the practical difference between the two explanations of Rava's shita? Whether Rava is saying it because he says that to begin with the whole thing is only a chiddush, or whether he's saying it's only because of a takana in order for the benefit of the lekuchas. The nafkamina would be das hidu be trei lachad or trei lachad. Suppose that two different edim gave edus on each one of the individual edim and said imanu hayisim. So in other words, you have Nefta. So in other words, you have like this. So you have Reuven and Shimon came and testified that Yankel stole. Now Levi and Yehuda come and say, Reuven imanu ha'yisem. And Yisachar and Zvulun come and say to Shimon, imanu ha'yisem. So you have two Edom on each one of them individually. The normal case of Edom Zomin is you have Reuven and Shimon, and then you have Levi and Yehuda testify on both of them. Here we're saying that you have two sets of Edom who are Mazimim, each one of them individually. Two of them are Mazim Reuven, and two of them are Mazim Shimon. So now, that's one way. Or another nafkamina would be, what if the Edom are not to... What if the new Edom don't come and say, Imanu ha'yisem, but rather they're saying you're apostle for a different reason. They're saying you are gazloni. So now it's not such a chiddush to say that we should believe the second set over the first, because when they're coming, anytime if two people come in to Beis Din and testify that somebody is a gazlan, we have to believe them. So now when they come and say, fine, maybe Yankel stole, but you're apostle Edom because you're gazlonim, well, then we have to believe them. There's no chiddush in that. Exactly that. Gazlonim, they stole. Oh, so for the apostolate, just because of that. So therefore, so lahach lishna d'amrit mishum chidush. So according to the first version of Rava, that the reason is why we say they're not possible retroactively is only because of chidush. Leka, in these two possibilities, there's no chidush in it, because it's not such a chidush that four edim can counteract two on one and two on the other, because after all, you have two edim. And yeah, not so much a majority. Tosfos points out, we have a concept called trei kemeah. Two Edom and 100 Edom are each equivalent. But the point is, in other words, that Tosfos points out, you can have a case to begin with. The first two Edom, Reuven and Shimon, didn't even know that one another was there. You have a concept that the Gemara calls in Masechta Makos, Edus Miuchedus. Suppose, for example, you have that Reuven and Shimon are in different buildings and watching from different windows, and they see the same event happening at the same time, but they don't know of each other. So now,
but they come the same thing.
They come to the same time. They find out from each other. They talk. They're talking in shul. They're talking before or after davening in shul, and they discover, hey, you know, we both saw the same thing. Let's go to Beis Din and testify. But now the point is, to begin with, they didn't know one another. Oh no, Tosfos says it's not even. He doesn't even know. Reuven comes all by himself to Beis Din to testify. Shimon comes all by himself to Beis Din to testify. They don't even know that the other one is coming. So now, when you have two Edom coming and being Mazim one of them, and two coming and being Mazim the other one, there's not such a chiddush that we believe the second set of Edom, because even to begin with, we didn't even have a complete Edos in a sense. We only had, only by combining them together, are we going to discover that we have a complete Edos. The first two came one by one, and then you have two Edom come by one and two on the other. So that would be, so there's less of a chiddush that we believe the second set of Edom, but therefore, in the second case where they're passing them because Gazlan Nusa, because they're saying you're Gazlanim, there's also less of a chiddush in it, because of course, if two people come and say on somebody in Beis Din that he's a Gazlan, then we have to believe him. He's postulators. So according to that version, there's no, in either of those cases, if we say Rava's whole reason is because of a chiddush, here there's not such a chiddush, so therefore there's no reason in those cases we shouldn't follow Abaya and make them postulam afreya. But if you consider the fact that meanwhile other people have been using these people as aiders, and you don't want to make them lose out, then we still have a valid reason not to pass all their aiders retroactively, even though you have these cases of two aidim against each one of them, or saying they're gazlonim, because the fact is we don't want to make lakuchas lose out unnecessarily. So that would be the nafkamina.
And if we switch around the case, the second set of aiders is one by one with the inverted
tradition? No, if the second set of aiders come one by one, I mean, there have to be two aiders who come and say, Imanu ha'yisem, but yeah, fine, maybe it would be a bigger tradition. Whatever, we're not getting into that. So therefore, so lahach lishna da'am nishum chidush leka, if you say it's a matter of chidush, there's no chidush in these cases, lahach lishna da'am nishum pseidu lakuchas ikka. On the other hand, if you say pseidu lakuchas, there is a chidush. Or not, there's a chidush, but then we have a reason not to passel them unnecessarily. Well, what's the halacha? Amr Rav Yirmi Yimidifti, Ovid Rav Papa Uvdech HaBasei de Rava. It happened once that a Papa passed in a practical case like Rava, that they're also only that they're apostle Eidus, only Mikana Labba, but not Lamafreya. On the other hand, Rav Ashi Yoma, Hilchsaka Baseda Abaya, Rav Ashi says, no, the halacha is like Abaya, and the Gemara concludes, Vehilchsaka Baseda Abaya, Vyaal Kagam, we have the famous six cases where the halacha is like Abaya, and with the simon, Yaal Kagam, and one of them is our case over here, the ayin of Yaal Kagam stands for Eid Zomim, which is exactly our case over here. The yud is Yushalemidas, which is above Metziah, at the beginning of Eilam Metzias. The ayin is over here, eight zomim. The lamed, you actually have a three-way machlokas among Rishonim what it is. Rashi says that it's a case in eight of in lechi ha'omen me'elov. Tosfos brings two possibilities: either that it's a case in nida yemei leida, involving the days after a woman give birth, as far as dinim of taras mishpacha, or another possibility that it's a case in psachim loy efshe v'loy kamachaven. Or Rishonim will bring that. The kuf is a case that we learned in Kedushin Shalonim Sirul Bia, when you have a case of Kedushin where there's a suffix in such a way where it's impossible to have a marriage there. The gimel is a case we learned in Gittin called Gilui Daita Begitta, where a person was Megaladas, a person made it clear with his words that he wants a get to be bottled, but he didn't say in so many words the get is bottled. We had a case over there where a guy sent a get to his wife and the shliach didn't give it to her that day, and the guy says Baruch Hashem, and the question is it, does it mean that he was Mevatel the get or not? You have Machlokas Abaya and Rava about that. And the mem is a case also involved, a mem is also a case involving Eidos about a mumer Lahachas, where a person is eating treif or doing other averus. Lahachas, I forget whether it's like or lahachas, but whatever, whether he's posel eidos, you also have a machlokas abaya and rova about that. So in those cases, the halacha is like abaya. In all the other cases, the halacha is like rova.
Six.
Ya'al kagam. You have a three-way machlokas what the lamed stands for. So in that case, altogether there might be eight. But whatever. The point is, basically, you have six, and the simon for them is these six.
Over here, so this case.
So this case is one of the six. So therefore, the halacha is like a bayah. So therefore, the mafreya hunifso, these edim, once we find out the edim zemin, they're possible retroactively to when they first gave the edus. But you have in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it talks about how do edim who were possible ever become kosher again? They have to do tshuva, but how do we know that their tshuva was sincere? They have to do something which demonstrates that in the future that they're not, for example, why would a person usually come and give false addresses? Because he was hired for it, for example. So you have eventually where he acts in such a way where he shows, for example, let's say he finds a very valuable Aveda and he returns it. So that shows that he's not addicted to money and doing things falsely like that anymore. So that would be one way in which he becomes kosher. And you have in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about various details about how an eight zomim can become kosher. The Alter Rebbe mentions, by the way, at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva, that here like this, he's dealing with the question. People have the impression that tshuva involves fasting, but you see in connection with these dinim that no, the ikur of tshuva is azivas achet bilvad, where we see that the person has definitively given up. And has definitely given up and is not going to do this Aveda anymore. So therefore, in each individual case, we need some kind of demonstration that he's actually changed his ways and isn't going to do it anymore. But once he does that, then you don't need fasting and you don't need anything like that. And already he's he's the last sif in Shulchan Aruch on these dinim is that he goes to a place where they don't know him and people offer him a significant amount of money to give Eidos Sheker and he doesn't want to. That demonstrates that they've done tshuva. So, worth mentioning, by the way, about Ya'al Kagam, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, that his father points out in a couple of places, Api Kabbalah, that he points out there are places where we find that Abaya is connected more with Gvura and Rava with Chesed. So the word Kagam is short for the three sons of Levi that we had just had in this week's parasha, Kahos, Gershon, Merari. And Ya'al means it should rise up. So therefore Abaya, the halacha is like Abaya in these cases where Kagam, Kahos, Gershon, Merari rises up and is shown to be higher than the chesed of the Kohenim. Because usually we have chesed overpowers Gvura, but in these cases we have the opposite of that. It's talked about in Chassidus, the law of Lover. We're going to see the Mila of Gvura over chesed, the Mila of Levium over the Kohenim. The Mila of the Avoda of the Levium of the Kohenim, and therefore, so then we'll see that all the time, but now we only see it in a certain limited number of cases.
So the base is like just saying in
Ya'al Kagam, right?
It's tomorrow morning.
Okay, so you should pray.